All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, cool. I need you to reach down into my toilet and figure out what's down there.
Can I have some gloves?
What do you think?
But I ask every time.
Yeah, I know. It's just at some point, I understand. I admire your spirit. Now get in there.
All right. Yeah, I'll James Sunderland this up. Silent Hill to me. Oh, man, wow. This is a very it's a commodious commode. It's
Yeah.
yeah. Okay. Well, okay. I'm up to my
There's
shoulder
some
now.
evidence down there.
And something hard. Let me just stink
Well,
fist
like
this
you
one
can
back
talk.
out. The thing about IBS is no. Let me just pull this out. It's covered in muck. Well, what is it, Gary? What did you put down there for me to reach in and
Huh?
find?
I didn't put anything down there.
Okay.
Some of it came with the toilet.
Yeah. Oh, that heart thing might have been a tie pin, because unfurl this, it appears to be a gentleman's kerchief. What are you
All I
doing?
got. I was just giving you a little gentleman's kerchief music. Here,
Yeah.
let's rinse that bad boy.
Okay. Is it just.
It's beautiful.
Okay, it's coming out. It's like a big polka dotted tie. Gary, this is a licensed tie from the 3DO game Plumbers Don't Wear Ties. Shift to minor. Yeah, the most appropriate shift to minor there ever was.
Big fuck, but I don't want to say fuck because it's an internet fuck. Like it was an internet fuck.
It was.
Because everyone wants to make fun of this, but it's
Yeah.
also I hate it, so I'm really torn.
I'm really torn. Let's take our standard fuck and replace
Okay.
it with the only thing that I could think while I was playing this, which is I like this is the
Story of a girl.
I just cried a river throughout the
Yeah,
whole
tell
world. Things can be baffling and things can be repugnant. Sometimes they're baffling and repugnant in different measures, right? This is the most baffling and most repugnant at the same time. This is
Yes.
baffling and repugnant in a way that,
In equal measures, but both of them are up to 10.
This so if games had Tony Hawk stats, right? And there was baffling and there was repugnant. This would be the bonus character Spider-Man who maxes out everything and can dunk on Tony Hawk.
God,
This
that
is
was so fun when you could play a Spider-Man
I
in that
know,
game.
right?
Oh, way cooler than Boba Fett.
Fuck.
I'm fuck. I'm Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
And this is After Suffering, the show where you play bad games so you don't have to.
Why are you doing this to us?
I'm sure this has shown up on suggestions because this is infamous.
This is a platinum tier Kusoge game, infamous primarily, I think, in recent days because there was a prominent in recent days in the past 15 years because there was a prominent angry video games nerd episode about it. So this has showed up in suggestions, and it showed up now because let me check here and make sure, because we had a suggestion. So Derek says, I had to go through the archives to select a game, and I was surprised you hadn't already covered this, since FMV games always seem to generate joy and good conversations. I thought it only appropriate I select a pseudo FMV game that shouldn't generate either of those things. I'm sorry. So at least you know what you've done.
It's a really ugly, hateful mess of a thing.
I wasn't
Before we get in.
prepared for how regressive this is.
No. It's just been a long time since I've heard so many people just casually calling other people bitches
Yeah.
for no good reason. You know?
So before we get into it, what were you going to say?
I wanted to talk real briefly about I played a little bit of this as much as I could stand. Like you can beat it, but I was grossed out, so I stopped.
No.
So I watched that angry video game nerd video of it. And how much of like is there like so I think it's like the website like Xamarin or something like that. I can't remember the thing, but a lady I follow on Twitter has written a bunch of essays about the Angry Video Game Nerd.
Okay.
They're like very thoughtful about him like growing up and being a father and how like his shtick is weird now, and they're really good, really thoughtful.
Mm-hmm.
But I had never really like gone back and watched how many of them are just like really weird and kind of pointless whining about stuff that doesn't matter at all.
Okay.
Like just like he has this whole thing where he talks about how 3DO games come in boxes that are too big. And it's just like, that's a real classic video game nerd thing. Like just like,
yeah,
why is the box so big? The box doesn't need that big.
Yeah.
It's a CD-ROM. You know,
he's not taking environmental stuff.
Why is it Zelda 2? It shouldn't be Zelda 2. It should be Zelda 3. You know, he just like takes these like stances that are just nonsense, and he gets so upset about them.
Yeah, so a big component of any of those videos is him trying to fit that game onto his shelf because he has a very big collection. Because you know that I would not turn that collection down. But when a game does not fit on the shelf or does not file correctly, you know, I can sympathize a lot with that plight. However, I don't know that I would dedicate a lot of time in the video or to that.
Well, it's also like I brought up that chronology thing too.
Yeah.
Like he just gets very upset about like numbers not making, like being released in the same number. Like there's something that's like just weirdly specific to his neatness sensibilities.
Yeah.
That is kind of, it's like annoying.
Yeah. You like, can, you can feel those things, but that doesn't necessarily need to make the cut.
Yeah. That's what it feels like a little bit. Like they're not, you know, we talked about him a lot on the show because obviously,
right.
And like, you know, when he's not bad at talking about what's bad in games,
right?
When he focuses on it, but he just gets in the weeds, like with stuff that just doesn't matter.
Yeah, he gets real wrapped around the axle about box size.
Yeah, like, it's really weird, you know. It's like poor guy, just really having a hard time with the size of this box.
Yeah,
you know, it does not matter. But that's also a way to experience the story.
Yes.
Because he goes through a whole story and says what happens in it, and then you don't have to,
mm-hmm.
even though you can play this on YouTube.
Yeah. Here's the thing about that. I don't know if this Derek who suggested this is the same person who did this. So some of the links were broken, get your shit together. And I went to, look at the, like the list of videos because I did beat this and I did see every bit of content in this thing because I don't care for myself very much. The most recent video, is one of the recent remixes of the Aptic Suffering theme. So the person who put that together, I didn't know that when I sent you the link, the person who put together the, play this online, play it on YouTube version of this YouTube channel Beyond Reason. They've got some very good, videos about the Twin Peaks Return soundtrack. Listened to us at least enough to put together a theme song, and B digitized this so more people can experience it, which you absolutely shouldn't because that's hateful garbage.
Yeah. it is hate. I'm going to separate from you on there and say that you shouldn't experience this.
Yeah.
I think it is too dumb and bad.
I definitely said you shouldn't, but it's there. It's definitely there for you if you want to, but you shouldn't because God, the sun's going to come out. I assure you things can get better for you.
It's just rough stuff.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of like every, like, you know, porn caliber actors kind of screaming slurs at each other. Like just being like that dumb bitch. Like there's a part where early on, you play, there's two characters in this, the plumber and a lady, and you're controlling both of them, as kind of a god mode, and you can choose what decisions they make. And your ostensible goal is to bring them together. But really the goal is to just see goofy shit, and the goofy shit's not funny and it is offensive and like not, it's boring.
It's
like,
really hard to talk about the specifics of this without becoming parodies of ourselves. The actual subject matter of this, apart from our judgment on it, is appalling.
Yes. Like even if you don't want to go with it that it's offensive at all, it's really boring and not funny.
Yeah.
So like one of the first choices, it's like you get to choose, like he either comes on to her or she comes on to him or a third option.
Right.
And like weird racist voice, say the thing, like, you know, do women like it when guys come on too strong? And I'm like, what? Why would you make that little, like a little racist Star Wars accent?
Yeah.
But then I made her come on to him.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, she eventually leaves And then he spends a bunch of time monologuing about what a slut she is and how she's a dumb bitch. I was like, wait, hold up.
Wait a minute. Rewind.
Yeah. Like what? And just like, yeah, like maybe like she must be a dumb slut. If she wants to do that, she's going to come to, she's not, you know, the sex is going to be terrible. I'm going to get fucked. Like, yeah. Like what is happening?
Yeah. She won't give a damn if I don't have an orgasm. Selfish.
Yeah.
Bitch.
That's a line.
That's
like,
a line.
That's a line. She won't give a damn if I don't have an orgasm. Like, my dude, like one of the things about being a guy is not always, but generally it's pretty easy to come.
It's like it's boilerplate. Like it's going to happen.
It's probably going to happen. Right. Like, you know, I don't think that, I don't really think the problem is women not caring whether men have orgasms. And I don't even say that as, you know, a feminist. I say that as a person who has had sex,
as someone who recognizes biological realities.
Yeah, as a person who owns a male genital and has spent some time around a female genital and like knows at least a thing or two about both sets.
Yeah. And so like that entire parking lot scene is full of weird, gross stuff because like, you know, they're dancing around each other and they're both insecure about it. And they start imagining like, oh, what if I was different? Or what if she was different? And one of them, he says, well, what if I was blonde and she looked a little bit more exotic? You're saying like, oh, everybody they're into the Nordic looking people. Well, she turns him down. He straight up turns into an incel and tries to stab her with a Swiss Army knife. And then she says, white men can't use knives.
Yeah, which is not really a thing.
No. And also somebody trying to stab a woman because she rejects him.
Yeah, that's not super cool.
Played for comedy.
Yeah, even
down to the other one, like as he is thinking about like, you know, like how could I be different? Like, oh, they well, how would she respond to me better? He says like, well, what if my skin color was different? Chicks don't like white dudes anymore. We're too straight. Anglos don't got no rhythm. Hey, are you okay?
Yeah. What year did this come out? Is this is a modern game made by Stefan Molyneux? Like.
I feel like I found a clue in like a very indie version of LA Noir.
the clue, the case of the fucking sad sack MRAs who made this game. Like,
yeah,
it's really modern in its grossness too.
I mean, like, it's timeless in its grossness.
It is timeless, but also feels just very like of the now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and the way this is gross, like it's not like. It could come out now, but it would be like Hatred or like that pickup artist simulator game.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know? this is a frank look at the real politics of dating.
Yeah.
For people who are unfamiliar with this, at a certain point, so there's a narrator who appears in like a yes, his narrator. He appears in a helmet sometimes with a microphone. Sometimes he's wearing a chicken mask, etc. He appears to berate you about your choices and, you know, talk about what a loser you are for not being coupled off, et cetera, down the line. At a certain point, a karate woman appears. She calls herself a takeover artist. And she says, yes, I have hijacked 99 different narratives, blah, blah, blah. So she examines the choices that you have made and says, well, this is horrible, sexist trash. I need to stop this. At which point the other narrator, the guy, comes back with a gun and shoots the feminist several times because that is the funny joke that we need that we are making, that if a feminist tries to stop you from being a monster, you shoot her.
Yeah, shoot her.
Hey, Elliot Rodgers, fucking stop.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty repulsive.
Yeah.
Like, I like to think that there's nobody... I know that this is not true. I want to live in a world where there's... Like, this would cross the line for everybody.
Right. This would not meet the minimum standards.
Yeah. Like, there are people who are just, like, literally... Like, this is... I don't want to cause this. I don't want to, like... You know, Streisand effect this, but like this could become this badge for all right shitheads because that's their entire thing. Like, you know, like Louis C.K. comes back and he's just like, I'm just gonna be the shitty Catskills comedian who just, you know, complains about Republican issues now, because that's what you think I am, and that's what I'm going to be, and that's where the money is.
Right.
And I have no principles.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes back and does that. And now all of the like super shitty alt-right internet personalities are like, yes, yes.
Finally.
You know, like, now I like him. You know, this is hilarious, because their sole reason for liking something is that we don't like it.
Right, right.
And if this, like, you know, became kind of a part of the conversation, a bunch of people would be like, oh man, I got to find the rare PC version because the libs don't like it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how can, what disservice are you doing to yourself when you boil down your taste entirely to basing it around what people don't like?
Yeah. Yeah.
Other people don't like, you know, like, I don't do that. I don't like Undertale, and all right, shitheads fucking hate that game.
Yeah.
And like, I'm just like, no, I just made up my own opinion about it. Like, you know, it is, you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, it feels like it's going to be, it could be that thing very easily, because it is a really mean-spirited, ugly game, like at least on the level of Duke Nukem Forever.
Yeah, and that's what kept coming to mind, because we made, you know, probably a fairly outsized point, which is like, Duke Nukem is it is a morally repugnant game in a way that this is like it's indefensible, like, you know, aside from the quality standpoint, and we should probably talk about that. This is billed as an FMV game. The opening is FMV, as the character mostly shows you cleavage and does just like a kind of the 1994 version of a hostile JOI video.
It goes on for so long.
Everything
like
goes on for so long.
You know that there's no scripting, like, in this whole thing. It's just like, just vamp.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, they're not comedians.
No.
You know, and they're, so they just, you know, they just think if you just keep talking, it's more funny.
Right.
You know, or it's more good.
And everything else, you know, outside of that video, it is done as a slideshow. It was, you can tell that it was never filmed. Because the expressions and poses that you see, they would only result from somebody trying to act in a photograph.
It's Fumetti.
What are you to what?
That's like an Italian comic book form that are like, it's a comic book made of like still images.
Okay. Yeah.
Like that. It's a Fumetti.
Okay.
The, so, and that was like, when you read about this, it's a lot of it getting dinged for that. Like, right. People are like, oh, this killed the 3DO. It should have been FMV. And I'm like, that's your problem? Like, how come the reviews of this didn't, you know, a lot of them, none of them said it was funny or anything, or like, oh, the only thing is I wanted to see this in motion.
Yeah.
But like, it's just weird how much that was called out as like a missing feature, whereas that is pretty value neutral as far as the quality of this goes. Like,
right.
Seeing these things move would not have changed this at all.
There would have been less of it.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah, that would have been, you know, would have, they wouldn't have had to narrate a reaction,
right?
You know, and they could just show us the right things. Exceedingly ugly, exceedingly cruel, really sexist, really mean, really gross on all accounts.
How far did you get? Like
not far. When, like, I got to the narrator, the takeover artist getting shot.
that was too much.
Yeah, but it's like, nope, big nope.
Yeah.
I'm gonna watch that AVGN video and then get the hell out of Dodge. Yeah. Go sleep like a person.
So this Zombotatoes like is divided up into two acts. The first one is them meeting in the parking lot and you deciding who makes the first move or not. Yeah. The second is Jane, because that's her name, going in for her job interview. And the bad result is that she gets a well-paying job and doesn't need a man. The good result is if you let her get harassed just enough that the guy can come and stop it.
Yeah. You have to let him, and you can do that Hollywood ending, you know, at that point after some other stuff happens,
right,
where he can come and stop it and then they get together. But you can also do the show me something weird is where she becomes a nun.
Right.
And that's played as a weird, like, it has the cadence and is presented as a joke for the whole game. Like, it's in the intro. Yeah, she's like, you wouldn't want me to become a nun, would you?
I'm not going to be the kind of person who becomes a nun. I mean, look at me. The fire marshal had to make a new code that I have a smoke detector between my thighs.
Yeah.
That's literally a line that she says.
It's her vagina is hot. You know, and nuns don't have sex. And this is the idea, is you're just supposed to be like, oh yeah, this smoking hot broad, she can't become a nun, then she's off the market, I'm gonna get some of that. You know, like
that's
the idea behind it. And it's just such a gross perspective. And like, here's a thing, and this is gonna, you know, part of the reason why that attitude, you know, that this pervades this as a dude, where it's like, oh, you can't have that hot piece off the market.
Uh-huh.
Do they think that there's a shortage of hot pieces? Do they think we're in a hot piece drought?
I think that there's a severe plight of a lack of object permanence when it comes to hot pieces.
I think so too. Like, you just don't realize, like, there's just other hot pieces that'll come along.
There are hot pieces waiting around a lot of corners.
Yeah, it is a time of war and peace. Like, it is there's a Seinfeld joke where he's like, you know, when you're a kid, they say, like, don't eat that cookie because you'll spoil your appetite. But as an adult, you know, another appetite's just coming right around the corner. Yeah. And that's what a hot piece is like. Like, you see a hot piece and you're like, yeah, damn, like, that woman's attractive. And that's fine. You'd be attracted to what you're attracted to.
Yeah.
But just to be like, oh, man, she better not become a nun. It's really weird to me because
it'd be a crime against men everywhere. Like,
does like anyone who has that attitude not think that there are effectively infinite numbers of equal quality pieces for hire at the same studio where this woman was hired? You know, like, I'm sure this is like if she's not like actually a porn star, because that's what it seems like. It seems like porn star caliber acting. If that's not what it is, then it's at least like a acting agency that is specifically for like hotties.
Yeah. So she's a model. And I think after this or concurrent with this, she was one of the gorgeous ladies of wrestling is the idea. She's the only person involved in this project that has a credit anywhere else.
Yeah. I just don't think there's a shortage of pieces.
Yeah. And, you know, at the depth that this story is told, you know, it's instant love at first sight. And that's the way that he convinces her to not do a bunch of things.
Well, and they're both under pressure from their parents. Like, yes. They're like, what, 22?
Maybe.
And their parents are just screaming at them like, you better find a bitch or you're going to, you know, and man, like, mom. You have to cool it, mom. Like, I cannot handle this.
Yeah.
There's a really dumb thing too where the angry video game nerd, when the fact that he wears a tie destroys him, because it's the kind of like beep boop logical inconsistency that like he cannot handle, you know?
Right.
But it's a reference to a line like in the game. Like, it's not a line worth naming the game about.
No.
But at the end, like, it's always played for comedy. Like,
so his mom gives him an ugly tie to help him attract the ladies, right?
Yeah.
And he wears it out of some sense of obligation.
Yes.
And as a result, the woman, Jane, does not believe that he is a plumber, even though
his customized bike is like plumber on a bike. Like, I have no equipment. That's my whole thing. I use my hands.
Yeah.
He does like the D&D monk style. He's a physical adept in Shadowrun terms, in terms of plumbing. But she's just like, oh, he's like, I'm a plumber. And she doesn't believe it, because this is on that level of comedy where being a plumber is like, you know, an extremely unknowable profession.
Right.
And she's like, you know, plumbers don't wear ties. And then bum, 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 bum. Because he did wear ties and he is a plumber. And that's the level we're
working. Right. I will admit that I did, you know, so that is the obvious joke, right? Mm-hmm. When I was looking on IMDb, there is a goof listed under continuity. The game is called Plumbers Don't Wear Ties. However, one scene in the game shows John, a plumber, wearing a tie. I snort laughed at that.
Thanks, IMDb.
Yeah.
It's a so a plumber does wear a tie in this, even though it is in spite of the game,
right?
Because I wonder what it would be like to introduce James Rolfe to irony. Like, just as like, you know, maybe they named him that because it's not actually strictly true, you know?
Wait a minute. Okay, so when I call you Mr. Thompson, I'm going to step on your foot.
It's gonna say a thing that's not true, because it's there's a whole playground in language that can deal with things that aren't strictly true, my friend.
Yeah.
Like, I'm gonna blow your mind here. Sometimes things aren't strictly true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you didn't get to the back half, so you didn't get to the whole like just dancing on a knife's edge that you have to do with regards to the sexual harassment that she goes under. If you decide to go with it, she becomes a dom and like berates her potential boss's penis while she whips him.
Mm-hmm.
If you turn him down, he starts haggling around on the offer, and the dude comes in and says, would you really sleep with him for $5 million? If that goes poorly, it is revealed that no, the boss doesn't have any money, but she will just go and live with him for $1,000, because she says, I guess I was John said I have slutty eyes, so I must have been born like that. And then just goes off and does. Like, I must be a slut, so okay, I'm gonna go. Like, I'm sorry. I know I'm just like regurgitating what happens in this game, but like that's what we're dealing with.
Yeah, it's really disgusting.
Yeah,
it's really bad. She is not not given.
No.
That negotiation scene too. That's like this long joke about them like trying to negotiate.
Right.
Oh, and with Donna Price, and it's like then it goes on for a very long time, and then it does like later that night, and they're still doing it.
Yep.
And like that's the joke. There's also a thing that gets highlighted in the AVGN video, mm-hmm. where there's an outtake.
Yeah.
They leave in. Did you run into that?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
How much? Why are they having so much fun in that outtake? They love it. Like they go ape shit. Like he just says, like he's like, I've been waiting to find me, instead of saying I've been waiting to find you. And the whole crew just goes fucking bananas.
They lose their minds, and then he says, yeah. Oh, must be a Freudian slip. Like, wait a minute, the search for self.
yeah, it's, and then they're just like, no, we're leaving that has to go in.
Yeah.
Like, oh. That's gold.
Well, so there are so many other jokes where they write in somebody misspeaking, like, yeah. Oh, I'm so happy to mate you. I mean, meet you. And then she says, yeah. Oh, okay there, tiger. Like, so he accidentally just did the same kind of joke that somebody, just slaved over a script to try and make.
the kind of sound alikes you get in those big Hollywood pictures. There's also, on the IMDb page, there's a bit of trivia where the actress from this, the lady from Glow, says that it was made as a joke and was never intended to come out.
Right.
And I find that very hard to believe. Like, that sounds like somebody being like, I made some trash and I need to make sure everyone, like, no, I'm not serious. Of course it was a joke. Right. You know, and it, like, if you made this as a joke, it would have to have joke.
Right.
You know, like, and there's just no joke.
Yeah.
It's also, there's too much spank stuff for it to be a joke. Like, it's too much, like, you know, softcore kind of like titty stuff.
Yeah. There's too much budget in this for it to be a joke, I think.
One of the, on the message boards, Blake Game says, this game's just ass and breast. Like, caps. Seriously. And then nobody responded. That's all I said, though.
Right.
4 years ago. This is just ass. And brass.
Okay, yeah.
Oh,
man.
We've got a couple, like, there's a lot of GameFAQs material,
right?
Because it is an AVGN popular internet whipping boy.
Right, but the space is too polluted, I think.
Yeah, there's like definitely some stuff that I found in here, but it's pretty brief. Like, when people do that first, there's like the finale of a GameFAQs message board game.
Yeah.
That happened on here. Baylor's Board Hunt Fantastica, the final topic, where he would go to different boards, post a topic, and whoever the first person to post would get the points.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the final one. So it's like people having to search through different games looking for this. Like,
right.
Again, that's just a sub point on whenever the GameFAQs documentary
right.
gets just made.
The games that popped up with these yep. little rooms. The little rooms in the infinite hotel that is the GameFAQs database.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This review by Ryan Harrison quotes CJC, our saint, our Lord and Savior. This is the worst game he's ever played.
Right.
He said, and I found out CJC's name, which I didn't think I knew, was just Jeff Veazey.
Huh.
So
yeah. Weird.
So a little CJC.
Yeah. It's one of the rare instances in which CJ speaks.
Yeah, CJ never speaks.
Yeah, CJ stands alone, quietly.
CJ does stand alone.
Observing.
And the worst thing, and this is not by any means like GameFAQs gold, I just hate it, is this review by the Sammies, who is the one who gave it the highest review, which is 2.5.
Okay.
And I haven't done a deep dive on the Sammies. Maybe there's more stuff. And this is in 2014.
Okay, yeah. So he's going in.
The Sammy says, for the immature 13-year-old boy in all of us, back when I was 13, I wrote a story about a lady going to a job interview. Her boss tried to kill her with a letter opener, and the story got hijacked by a different narrator. Oh, and Mario is in it for some reason. He spent the entire story mutilating hippie Nazis. Don't ask. There was bathroom humor, bedroom humor, and fourth wall breaking by the narrators left and right. The story was a piece of crap, but I still enjoyed it and was proud that I wrote a whole story, no matter how bad it was. That's what this is, but it's not. Like, he's saying that as like, oh, this is relatable and good.
Yeah.
But this is a major, like, a video game that came out on a major system that's made it that exact posture.
Right.
Yeah. And it's just like, oh, like, I know exactly what you're talking about. Like, I had writing prompts in English where people would write their stories.
Right.
And do this. And it sucks. You know, like, that's just like, it's like, how in 2014 you're like, yeah. This is pretty cool. This is like the cool stuff I used to do.
Yeah, no, just it gives me warm fuzzies thinking about middle school writing prompts.
And I know we're up on time, but the Sammies reminds me of something. I have a story that I've got to tell.
Okay.
I can try to get this whole thing 10 minutes, but it's digressive. Do we feel like we can move on from Pummelers Don't Wear Ties?
There was one funny post that I found. Let's see here. This has to be one of the most difficult things to watch ever. True. This is by AMOP. He has got a short little post here, but at the end he says, props to the nerd for actually sitting through this abomination.
Thanks, the nerd.
Thank you for your service. I just thought that was funny. Continue.
Okay. So for Christmas, my girlfriend took me to Seattle.
Okay.
And went to Seattle just like for overnight. Like, we got on the Amtrak. And lovely visit. Like, got out there, had a great time, came back. On the way back, we were in a hell car.
Okay.
A real hell car.
Like, was it a portal? Was it a hell mouth?
It felt like a hell mouth. So we were sitting behind four teens, like loud, smelly, just teen boys, you know? who were like a high school or freshman college, like jazz group, like vocal jazz
group,
who were just being very loud, playing music, at full volume on their iPod, and then, doing mouth like exercises. Yeah. Like doing little jazz, like strings of little jazz songs in their mouth. And like in any universe, that is the worst thing.
I mean, did you call Homeland Security for terrorism?
I got distracted by a much worse.
Okay. All right. No, okay. Let me brace myself for this.
So I get up and I go to the snack car, and we're standing in line, in the snack car, and, we're behind this guy who's just kind of like monologuing, and he's a little bit obnoxious. He looks like a trench coat kid, like kind of, you know, long, long black hair, big scruffy beard, metal t-shirt. You know, et cetera, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, like this guy's kind of annoying, but it wasn't really noteworthy. And we're standing next to everybody, so we don't say anything.
Right.
There's a line, because, you know, line. We get back, and that guy's sitting behind us and to the left. So across the aisle behind us.
Okay.
Sitting there with his girlfriend. He fucking monologues to her for 2 hours straight. So it's like the train ended up being delayed several times. It was a 4-hour trip. It's supposed to be a 3-hour trip.
Ugh.
2 hours talking shit about just people in general, and then his girlfriend's mom in this way that is like fantasizing about putting her in chokeholds and his girlfriend killing his mom.
Was she on board with this?
So we spent a lot of time talking about how culpable she was, because this guy gets way worse.
Okay.
And we think to a degree, like, she's quieter. He just like he projected, like, I have a voice for theater. I'm going to fucking use it on this train car.
Oh, man.
Which has like a kind of like a quiet time vibe to it.
Yeah.
You know, a train in the evening, like, it just like, you just talk at like a volume that's loud enough for your companion to hear you. And then you know, but no more.
Mm-hmm.
So already just like fucked up.
Okay.
And just gross, you know, gross and misogynistic, and just like, you know, yeah, like, she's got that perfume. It just smells like, it makes her smell like the way people smell when they don't know how they smell. Like, they're coming with the smell of dust. And she's like, you couldn't hear his girlfriend very often, but his girlfriend is like, you know, I actually like that stuff. I might start wearing it. Like, not as a joke.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, be prepared for me to like you a lot less. And I'm like, this guy fucking sucks. Like,
yeah.
And he just kept doing it, right? And it was like intolerable.
Okay.
Like, it sucked.
Yeah.
And it's, the gravity of that is just how long it lasted.
Yeah.
And he did not stop his fucking mouth moving. Like, he would not shut up.
What was there a moment? So he was behind you. Like, were there any glances, like, to anybody else who was nearby? People, like, this fucking guy?
Yeah, I made friends with the person across the aisle, the lady across the aisle with me, of looking over whenever he said something particularly egregious and just being
Okay.
like, dude.
Yeah, so you weren't alone in this. It wasn't like, because that's
No.
crazy making too.
Yeah, I was not alone in this. And in a more just world, we would do the opposite of when like all the New Yorkers carry Spider-Man and put his mask back on. We would have done the opposite of that. We would put him in front of the train and put a mask on him and let him get creamed. So he starts going on about, I didn't see this guy. He's just like, man, the guy keeps fucking walking by. He's walked by like five times. Keeps looking at my bag like he's gonna steal my stuff, man. And he's just talking a big game about it. He's like, if he comes back here, I'm gonna fucking say something about it. Like, he just wants to steal my stuff. And he's just got a backpack and he just went on a trip. So like, who the fuck needs your dirty boxers that don't clothes and your
Okay.
stained, Mastodon shirts?
Right.
Like, seriously, nobody wants what's in your fucking backpack, you maniac. Like, oh, I
Oh,
need this trench coat kid's like his vape pen and his fucking source books. And that's what I need. Like, it is crazy making. And he's just monologuing about that. Like, he cannot shut his mouth for 2 seconds. And he's just monologuing about that. I look down, like I look away and stuff like that. And then the guy who he hates, who walked by, who was like looking up at the shared baggage area, right? Like, we all put bags up there.
Right.
It's not like Winda, and he said, like, get the fuck away from my bags, you piece of shit, or something like that to the dude. And the dude responds, he's kind of like an old guy with like wavy hair. Like old guy with wavy hair, and he doesn't back down. Like he's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah,
This
like all of our
this
stuff
trench
is
coat kid.
there.
Yeah, like, and he didn't like, reason him. He didn't like talk him down. He was just like, what the fuck are you talking about? And he's like, yes, dude, we're from my stuff. And he's like, I'm not messing with your stuff. What are you like, don't talk to me like that. And he's like, I'll talk to you whoever I want. And like it escalated. He's like, stand up. He's like, I'm not gonna stand up. You just stay the way you're from my stuff, or I'll fucking hurt you. And they're just like going on, and everybody in the car is like a huge exasperated pain sigh, like goes through the train car.
Okay. So
Oh my fucking God.
trench coat kid is escalating a
Yeah, other guy's not
non-existent
backing down.
conflict.
A non-existent conflict. Other guy's not backing down. And then like my girlfriend's like, hey, we're really close to the thing. Would you guys stop, this thing? And like the guy leaves. And then, of course, trench coat kid spends the rest of the trip monologuing about how right he was to do that. Like, just like, man, who's trying to get my stuff? I had to protect my stuff. Like, I have a right to do
We
that.
live in a society.
He's a weird man. That guy was a fucking weirdo. And I said, I was like, yeah, you can't have people walking back and forth on a fucking train. And then his girlfriend was like, yeah, but he was real weird. And I'm like,
Oh,
yeah, are you fucking kidding me? Like the
you're
like,
one
and I was just like lost it, and I was like super irritated. And my girlfriend was just like she earlier she was like, let's move. And I was like, we're so close, like I'm just gonna put in headphones, like I don't want to move. But she was right, like we should have moved, we could avoid this.
Yeah.
So eventually I just couldn't stand looking at him and just listening to him monologue, and to anybody who would listen. Because some people had headphones or something like that, and they were just like, what happened? And he like would turn around in his chair and be like, well, this guy, like he was casing my stuff. Like he was trying to get into my backpack. And I was like, no way. I had to stop him. So, and he was just like telling this version of the story that was fictional in his head that made him seem like a hero, about this. And I couldn't handle it. So we went to another change star or train car where it was silent as the grave and was really, really peaceful. But I hate, like, I was very mad
Well, that I mean, so
about it.
I've never been on an Amtrak. I think the closest thing I've been was like the Long Island Railroad, and New York. So I've never been on an Amtrak, so I don't know what the what this general atmosphere is. But like the sense that, okay, yes, there is a quiet zone, but you want to be like, if you're traveling with somebody, you want to be able to interact with them, right? So like, oh, we can have a quiet conversation, talk about the trip that we just had, et cetera. And if everybody does that, it's just fine. But when somebody breaks the compact and projects and basically holds court about which guy may or may not be casing his valuable shit.
His valuable underwears.
Then that ruins it for everybody, because yeah, the option is, I could put on my headphones, but you might not want to do that. You might want to talk with your fucking girlfriend.
Yeah. Yeah. And the if he wants to talk, or if you want to talk, like, you're literally right next to people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you just don't have to do that.
Yeah.
None of it was necessary. Nobody wanted his stuff. He just wanted to be the center of attention for a moment. And previous to that, with a 2-hour monologue about putting people in chokeholds like he's fucking Dermot from the Venture Brothers, you know, and it's just like, who are you? How are you?
Mm.
Like, not how are you doing, but how did you come to be?
Yeah. What's your, I'm going to ask, what's your life like? I really don't want to hear what your life is like. He's a barback.
Like, I guarantee he's a barback.
Okay.
And he lives in an apartment where the kitchen is carpeted.
Yeah.
With his shitty, or in his mom, his girlfriend's mom's house. And that's, you know,
yeah.
And he ignores her. And when she leaves, like, when she closes the door, he like does the middle finger with his thumb out, you know, towards the door, and goes to his barback thing after. And afterwards he stops in at Black Sheep Vapors to like get new brews.
Yeah.
Like home brews for his vape pen. And like, I felt like such a strong, like, oh, I know this guy.
Yeah.
And then I was right. Like, you have that feeling where you're just like, I'm going to make an assumption about this guy. He seems like a piece of shit. I bet he's a piece of shit. And then he just turns out to be a colossal piece of shit. You know? And I'm like, oh, like my instincts are actually still pretty good. Like, this guy fucking sucks balls. I had a weird moment where I was thinking, like, what if that guy listens to the show? I think it's very unlikely.
Yeah.
But like, just nobody liked you on that train.
Yeah.
You have to stop that. Yeah. If you're listening to this, or if anyone knows that guy, if some guy's like, yeah, man, some dude tried to fucking jack my backpack on the train.
Yeah.
You know, and they listen to the show.
If we can get this message out, like, if we can six degrees of separation this, tell this person to, at the very least, work on his indoor voice.
Yeah. Like, at the very least, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like, nobody wants to hear you. You're not entertaining a train full of people who are returning home.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. So like, it was pretty rough. It didn't do anything to impact the trip. I had a wonderful time.
Yeah.
But it was just like a pretty sour note.
Yeah.
So go to hell.
Yeah.
French Coat Kid.
No. Like, there's another show that I like that makes, you know, like, one of their early things was Keep Moving and Get Out of the Way. You know, just as a concept for a way to exist in the world without impacting a lot of people, as based around the idea of, you're at a store, you know, either keep moving or get out of the way. You're stopping other people from doing their things. That extends to so many other things aside from just being at the grocery store. This person neither kept moving nor got out of the way. He was moving, but he was still in the way, and he was constantly in the way, conversationally, orally.
And while that was happening, there was this low-level patina of jazz teens.
I forgot, like, about the jazz teens.
Yeah. Like, I was, like, ranking at the end. I was like, what are the, you know, what's the, well, let's rank the monsters in that train car. You know, like, in any world, like, the best of the jazz teens, who still did a bunch of mouth jazz and played their iPhone at top volume and slammed their chair back into the reclining position in front of me, was the fifth, like, worst person.
Wow.
It was pretty incredible.
Gary, I forgot about the jazz teens. It's like that one detail at the beginning of a Saw movie that comes back right at the end.
Yeah. It was pretty excruciating. And like, I was like, I need, you know, my phone, the way I use the bus is on my phone.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like rocking a 17%.
Oh.
You know, another 45 minutes home. So it's like, I can't just go into headphone land forever.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was exceedingly rough stuff.
Oof.
So this is my public fuck off to that guy.
Yeah.
And like, you know, before anybody says anything, it's like, yes, we could have like asked a conductor, you know, but I don't want this guy to pick a fight with me in the bathroom after nonsense.
Yeah. You know, like, just bang your head into the razor blade receptacle. Like,
yeah. Just be like, oh, or just even, I just don't want to interface with him.
No.
You know, like I could have been like, hey, can you tell that guy to shut the fuck up?
Yeah.
And then the guy would have been like, oh, pussy. Oh, it's a pussy. And like, he would have just like spent the whole time, you know, barely talking above a whisper to try to get me to fight him, because he just, that's what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in a weird way, he wanted to be shut down so he could be a victim and he could talk about it. And
yeah,
he just, you know, there was just had been too much time that passed since he had been the total center of attention for a group of people.
Yeah
You know.
Trenchcoat Kid
guy fucking sucks, and this game fucking sucks.
Yep.
It all fucking sucks. Stop being sexist, misogynistic pieces of shit who are not funny.
Yep.
And that goes for Plumbers Don't Wear Ties.
Yeah.
It goes for the Isekai.
Yeah.
It goes for Trenchcoat Boy.
Mm-hmm. Goes for those jazz teens.
Goes for Jazz Teens.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't trying to be funny, but they still sucked.
Yeah.
Just, yeah. So, fun episode if you like the show. Not fun episode, angry episode. Yeah. Angry episode. If you like this show, if you like the panoply of emotions we display, you can support the entire network at patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
Yep. Recently had some big changes over there, and you are closer than ever to being able to access a whole backlog of Exquisite Suffering episodes, the premium episodes. As of the time this is coming out, there are 62 of them. There's 62 of them out there.
Yep. And a bunch of other extra shows as well.
So thank you very much, Derek, for demanding this. We had to get to it eventually. And the second I booted this up and saw that intro video, I was like, this is going to be an angry episode.
Yeah. Yep. It's angry.
Yeah. But this was also submitted by Brian, by Timothy, and by Zach.
Thank you, everyone.
Yes.
Really do appreciate it. And you know, rating your reviews, telling your friends, all those things are useful. And until next time, boy,
who is Trench Dog?
Trench Dog, it's like a disease.
Oh no,
it's like a 20,000 AD character. fights Judge Dredd.
Terrible case of Trench Dog.